As we always do, we thank you for his death and his resurrection and for his ascension. O Lord God, we thank you for all that he has done. And today we especially thank you for our mothers as we bring them before you, Lord. Many of us mothers are home in heaven with you, and we thank you for the lives they lived here. We thank you, Lord God, that they were our mothers and they took care of us. And for the mothers who are here, we pray blessings upon you, the continual blessings and God's abundance of grace. And now, Lord, speak a word for us, a word of hope, a word of peace, a word of love, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And you know, friends, since we don't have clip art and all that on an overhead, if you look at the front of the bulletin, you will notice that I kind of made a little take a look. It takes work to put it together. That little picture is a combination of the Ascension and Mother's Day, because today is Ascension Sunday. Ascension Day was a couple days ago, but we celebrated it in our church, in the church. If you don't have a service on that day, we celebrate it on the Sunday after Ascension Day. And here we have Jesus ascending. And so my sermon title today is Mary, a Faithful Mother. And I want to lift up before you and remind you that Mary was there throughout Jesus' life and to the very end. And what an example we have to live by. Whether we know that the Roman Catholic Church, they revere Mary as the mother of Jesus, and they pray to her, and there's nothing wrong with that. That is, you know, that is how they feel. We do lift up Mary as the mother of Jesus, and we know she played a special part in the life of Jesus. Like many mothers, all good mothers, even mothers that have their ups and downs, play very important roles in the life of their children. Right, we know that without mothers, we who are mothers, and we have all had mothers. I heard a preacher said this morning when I was getting ready, and it's so true. We have all had mothers. Somewhere, somehow, we were all born. And the only thing I know about, the only way to do this is from the womb of a woman. To this day, at least, whether it's natural or it's artificially inseminated or whatever. From the womb of a woman, so we have all had mothers. Some of us have had excellent mothers. Some of us have had not so excellent mothers. And then some of us, we have not been excellent mothers ourselves. And then we have been very good mothers. Because you know what? There is no mother in school. Last time I checked, you know, you have a baby and then you start learning on the job. Right, friends? Although nowadays, they may have schools now. They have so many things now. But in 1902, when I was first a mother, I know there was no school. There was nobody going to any school. We just did what we had to do. Do you know other mothers in 1902? Do we remember that? It seems like 1902, right, doesn't it? When your children are grown. And so we want to thank God for that. And today we want to look at the text, and I'm going to present you with a thought that Mary was there throughout the life of Jesus. And so here it is. I start with a thing called a mother's prayer. And that I saw this little reflection, and it says, if I live in a house of spotless beauty with everything in its place, but have not love, I am a housekeeper, not a homemaker. If I have time for waxing, polishing, and decorative achievements, but have not love, my children learn cleanliness, not godliness. Love leaves the dust in search of a child's laugh. Love smiles at the tiny fingerprints on a newly cleaned window. Love wipes away the tears before it wipes up the spilled milk. Love picks up the child before it picks up the toys. Love is present through trials. Love reprimands, reproves, and is responsive. Love crawls with the baby, walks with the toddler, runs with the child, and stands aside to let the youth walk into adulthood. Love is the key that opens salvation's message to the child's heart. Before I became a mother, I took glory in my house of perfection. Now I glory in God's perfection of my child. As a mother, there is much I must teach my child, but the greatest of all is love. How true it is, isn't it? That we love our children. And you know, I said to a lady yesterday, I was at the dollar store. You know, you could go, another thought, you could go to the CVS and one card is $7.99. Do you know, just to say Happy Mother's Day. They have gone crazy. But when I went to the dollar store, now that I found out about the dollar store, you could get good cards at the dollar store. You have to work. It was jam-packed. I said when I walked in, are they giving away money? The lady says, no, they're just Mother's Day card. And everybody was buying cards upon cards and remembering their mother. It's a good thing. We should remember our mother all the time. But it's a good thing to make fuss, to make a fuss over Mother's Day and then Father's Day. Well, we know Father's Day doesn't compare with Mother's Day with the fuss. But fathers also deserve, right? But today it's Mother's Day. Mother's Day, and we're going to make a lot of fuss over mom and cook a meal. And for those of us who can't, you know, say much, can't say anything to mother, can't call them up anymore because they're in heaven, we still love them. Well, I talk to my mother all the time. All the time, even though she's gone. And sometimes when I'm overwhelmed, I'll say, Mom, what would you do here? And sometimes I could hear her saying, be quiet, you talk too much. You know, she's like that. You know, you be quiet back here. She would tell you the same thing. Or something. Mothers are like that. Every now and then she gives me a smile. And when I remember her, like around her birthday or something, I have a little tear. Because you just miss them sometimes, don't you? Just kind of miss them. Want to talk and chat a little bit and, you know, and so on and so forth. So here we are today. And on this Sunday, Ascension Sunday, we want to talk about Jesus' mother and the importance of motherhood and how we could mold a child. Today on Ascension Sunday, where we also celebrate mothers, we want to make sure that we remember the mother of Jesus and that Mary was a faithful mother. Mary was a faithful mother to the very end. What does it mean to be faithful? It means to be loyal, constant, and steadfast, right? Devoted, unswerving, staunch, dedicated, committed, trustworthy, dependable. Think of your mothers, friends. You know, not so much as we think of ourselves. Think of your mothers, how some mothers can be so dependable. You could just depend on them to be there for you, to say something, to comfort you, right? They're reliable. Mothers can be very reliable. You know, what if you knew your child's future before the child was ever born? What if you knew your child's profession and how it would end before that child was ever born? Mary knew this about Jesus. Not exactly everything about it, but closer than any other mother ever would, about a child she carried and raised. Mary knew this was not going to be an ordinary life for her child. She was told by Simeon, the child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that would be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too. She knew this was prophesied, that her boy was going to be in trouble. Mary knew that a perfect firstborn would always be treated differently. She knew that. How do you prepare a child for that? Even among his own siblings, who took years to believe that he was the Messiah. Mary's own people, their own people would both adore him and hate him. Mary knew that. How her heart must have ached as she watched him grow up. How Mary must have tried to prepare him for life that no earthly person can comprehend. We don't see a lot of Jesus' childhood played out in the Bible. There isn't much for Mary herself after Jesus steps into his own role and out from under his wing. But she was always there, watching, trying to help, following him, trusting in his abilities to do what God had called him to do. You remember the wedding at Canaan. Don't you remember that wedding at Canaan? Jesus' first public ministry. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." And then he said, "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not come yet." And then his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." She was there, motivating him, encouraging. Good mothers encourage. There was Mary like any mother, right? She knew her boy was special and they had no wine, and she was telling them, "Go tell him, he could take care of it. He knows where the wine cellar is. He'll fix this." He knew. She knew. She was always there for him. How many times was she there for him? Could you imagine as she watched him grow up, as we see the little ones here, what she must have said? Did she ever go to God and beg him to spare her son? You wish the Bible would tell you more, right? Did she ever go and says, "God, please don't let him die," because she knew that something was going to happen. I cannot imagine that it never crossed her mind. But Mary was always faithful. Faithful to the promise she had made about being the Lord's servant. Unwavering, even when it meant her own life was made more difficult. We know that as her cousin Elizabeth, whose own son endured trials on behalf of loving Jesus, told her, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Mary knew. And after 3 days, the scripture tells us what? They found him in the temple. Remember when he was 12? He disappeared. Like our children disappear sometimes when we can't find them. And she found him in the temple and he was speaking among the scribes and the Pharisees and all of that. And Mary was so worried. And she said to him, what have you done? Why are you here? Why? We have been looking for you. Your parents have been looking for you. And then Jesus, being this bold young man, he says, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand. Mary didn't understand that he had come for something bigger than she thought. But she must have been concerned. She must have been worried. And we see in the scriptures that Mary was waiting. One time we see in Matthew, waiting outside, wanting to speak to Jesus. Always, like mothers, patient, patiently waiting, trying to figure it out for our children. Isn't that what we do? And we make mistakes, don't we? I'm sure Mary did. And then we remember at the foot of the cross. Don't we remember? She had watched him. She knew about the trial. She was there at the trial. We have pictures of it. We see it in the text, right? She was there, watched them beat him and whip him. And then here she was, a mother. Can you imagine? Our heart was broken. Mothers, we could understand that, can't we? You must have cried out and says, "My son, my boy," her very words couldn't leave her lips. Because when you love someone like you love your child, that child that you've carried in your womb for 9 months, when you love them so much, love them till every pain they feel, you feel. Everything that hurts them hurts you when your heart is broken, when they're hurting. And when they're doing well, you rejoice. Right, mothers? When they get an A, you're so excited, you thought you got the A. Does it ever happen? And when they get an F, or our Lord knows, let's not use the word F, because that should not exist. But when they get a lower grade, your hearts break when they cry, don't you? Mary did the same thing, but she never left. Because we remember the foot of the cross, the scripture said, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." So we knew with all the pain she was going through, she was at the foot of the cross. Isn't that how mothers are? They show up at hospitals and sit there all night and they hold you and they wipe the tears and they just won't let you go because they love you so much. They're hurting for you. And then when you become grandparents, it's another new set of anticipation and apprehensions. If you have not been a grandparent yet, for all of you mothers who have been grandparents, it starts over. Starts over again, doesn't it? Wondering, that grandchild, is she going to be all right? Is he going to be all right? Mary knew that. And here is the marvelous thing. Scripture does not tell us if Mary was at the ascension. We don't know that. One could assume that since Mary had followed him throughout the whole his whole life, as I just gave you that summary, since Mary had followed him throughout his whole journey, gave birth to him, she was there when he was 12, she was there when he was crucified, I would like to submit that she probably was at the ascension. We don't see it in any of the Gospels. But what we do know that she was there in the upper room. We're not going to go to Pentecost. We know she was there because Acts, as I gave you in the scriptures, I went to verse 14. And Acts 1, verse 14 tells us when he led them out of Bethany. No, that this is in the gospel. The gospel said, then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. So now Jesus had died. Jesus rose from the dead. It is now, remember, 50 days in total, right? Pentecost is really 40 days because Pentecost will come on the 50th day. Pente for 50. And so here they are, they think he's going to stay on earth, they think he's going to stay with them forever and bring down the Romans, but he's going to be ascended into heaven to be with the Lord. So Ascension Sunday for us means Jesus was taking up. As they were watching, he was taken up into heaven. And then he was, this would become the union of the triune team, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit will then come later on. And so Jesus, could you imagine if Mary was not there when she heard? That she must have said, I'm losing him again? Is he gone again? I thought when he got resurrected he would stay. Here it is, she is going through another set of pain. Joy yet but what? Losing her boy. And then we see, so he was in the ascension, and the scripture tells us that he spoke to them so they would understand. Because they were waiting for one thing. All who were there at Ascension Sunday was waiting for one thing. They thought he was going to, you know, declare an earthly war on their captors. They were in captivity. But he told them the scriptures, and he told them what they needed to hear. What was going to happen. Then he wanted them to go forth and make disciples. He was giving them the strength that it's going to be all right. John doesn't break it all down, but you're going to be okay. I'm not going to leave you as orphan, he would say earlier. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I want you to go to this place and wait. Wait for what's going to come. And I would like to interject that they probably thought he was coming back again on Pentecost. That he wouldn't be coming in the same form. But when we got when we get to Acts of the Apostles, here's how I knew that Mary was faithful to the end. Never gave up like mothers. Kept at it, even though she had her disappointments and her joy. We read in Acts, it says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and all the guys. And these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. So we come to Acts of the Apostles, and there was Mary. Do you know that Mary would receive the Holy Spirit? Mary would be there on the day of Pentecost. She would be there in the upper room. She had spent her life taking care of him. She had spent her life taking care of Jesus. She watched him grow up. She watched him in pain. She watched him in joy. She watched him do all the miracles. What a mother she was. You know, I always say good mothers are first and foremost what? Praying mothers. I think what we've lost in society sometimes is, I don't think there are mothers who really pray for their children so that their children know that they're praying for them. Right? They don't know. We may come to church and we say we're praying for our child, but they really don't know that they're praying for them. Has any of you ever noticed your mother, the old-time mothers? I had one of those old-time mothers who you could hear praying for us on our knees. Just praying. Asking God to watch over us. Asking God, she wasn't rich with money, but what she was doing was rich with spirit. And she prayed for everything. Sometimes you'll see her on her knees for so long. And she'll be calling all of the children's name, asking God to watch over us, to watch over me. I was the eldest after my little sister passed, and after being born, and I became the eldest. My mother always said I was supposed to have been the eldest. That's how she reconciles it. That's mothers are like that. And I would hear praying for me all the time. It would give me such comfort to say, my mother is praying for me. Something is going to happen because she's praying for me and God is listening to her. Frankly, I thought she knew, really did know God personally. When I was young, I thought she really didn't know him. Like, till I got older, I realized God wasn't sitting in her room somewhere. But she called on God for everything. That's not what good mothers do. I think some of these young people are in trouble. They don't hear their mothers and fathers. Today's Mother's Day, so I'm going to talk to the mothers praying for them. Maybe if they would hear them praying in their houses. Sometimes you want to just be their friends. You know, nowadays a lot of mothers want to be their kids' friends. You know, we're not friends till you're grown. How could I be a friend with a 10-year-old or a 12? I'm not your friend. If I have to work to feed you and clothe you and take care of you and go to school when you're complaining about you, I'm not your friend. I'm your mama. Right? I'm going to reprimand you and I'm going to love you. So you know you need to have praying mothers and mothers who are bold enough. Sometimes when our kids grow up and they don't believe in God, because you know what? We never really taught them how. We send them to church and we bam, 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 and we're finished. But we'd have to see us do that, a praying mother. Praying mothers who bring their children to church, who let them understand that I may not be there one day. None of us may be there one day, but Lord will always be there. Mary was that kind of mother, always there. And mothers who motivate their children. And let me tell you something I want to say to mothers who are raising children. And don't gossip with your children. Don't tell your children this person said this and this person. You're just messing up their young life. Right? You know, we learned, we grown up, we weren't born gossiping. We didn't come out of the womb. There's not a word that says mothers should gossip. But grown-ups gossip, but don't say things around your kids that make them become bitter about people and all of that for nothing. Because all you're doing is ruining their childhood moments. Are you with me? Tell them good things. Let them stay out of the mess. Right? They don't need to, because their life is going to be filled with their own trials and ups and downs. They don't have to pick up our own. Love them. Motivate them. Right? Motivate them. I came from the Caribbean and getting an A and an A plus was a big deal. They didn't even call it A and A plus. But you had to do good. You had to do excellent. Right? And it could have been very hard on you sometimes, right? Education was your key out. We didn't have money, but we had brains. And they would tell you, you better learn. But anytime you didn't do so well, I remember my mother would always say, next time you try to do better. Next time. Right? Next time try to do better. But you know what? We need to motivate our children. You need to say, I know you could do better. I know you could do better, and you'll do better next time. I got your back. I'm with you. Encourage them. They need encouragement. They don't need to be beat upon, right? Mary encouraged Jesus. She knew. She said, he could make the wine. He could do it. Encouragement, right? Encouraging your children. Let them know that you care. The other day, this parent, this child called up from college, and she really wanted an A.
one of our, she really wanted an A. And they marked, they added up and made an average. And she had gotten 90 something on all her tests and 76 on the other one. And when they marked, she got an 89. Child from here. Got it, she's at college. She called into the mother and I was there. She got an 89 and she was upset because she wanted an A minus. She wanted an A. Where do you get an A minus? You know all of us who have gone to college over here. We don't care if it's an A minus, it's an A. A minus, A plus. And she was so upset, the mother had her on FaceTime. And she says, why couldn't she just give me the 1 point? It was 89. That means it's a B plus. She says, I worked so hard, I wanted an A. Why couldn't she give me? And the mother said, but an A plus is good. A B plus. You did your best. It's okay. Encouragement. You want to encourage them so they could feel good. You want to spend time encouraging them, don't you? Because they need us. Mary did that. And then you want to show up for them. Mary showed up even when it was bad. Right? She didn't went to hide. Do you know that? She showed up for Jesus, was there at the foot of the cross, waited for him. And then she must have got the news if she wasn't at the ascension. She heard. Jesus said, my son said, go there and go wait in the upper room. And the Bible says she was there. That is the faithfulness of a mother. We don't give up until the end. Until the very last breath leaves. We don't hear much about Mary after that. But we believe she went to live with John. John, who Jesus said, take care of your mother. And then some said she went to Ephesus and would lived out her life there. But I'm sure she was very influential in the early church. We have a great example in Mary. One who will stick to with her kid through ups and downs, through trials and tribulation. Mothers are like that. And if mothers are not like that, mothers ought to be like that, don't we? Love our kids no matter what. And for mothers who are not like that, we pray for them. We pray for ourselves. You know, someone said, I read this on the influence of mothers. Many scholars have concluded that you cannot really understand John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, unless you understand his mother, Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley was so prominent in his life, taught him the Bible, taught him the word. How many of you knew how to read the Bible from your parents? How many of you saw that Bible in the house, always opened in the house? Anybody? Is it just me? With your mothers always at the Bible? The Bible became that anchor for them. Right? It just amazes me. You think back about it and you say, thank God for my mother. I got to know Jesus through my mother. It wasn't seminary. It wasn't coming to America. It wasn't any school or education. I got to know Jesus and my love for Jesus through my mother. My mother I didn't have a college degree. Bright woman, but she didn't go to college. But I got to know Jesus, knew how to read the Bible at her feet. Knew the Psalms. She could recite them with her eyes closed. She could just recite Psalm 121, Psalm 46, Psalm 91. She knew them, and I knew that the Bible and the Word of God was important because my mother said so. She didn't exegete it. She didn't critique it. Mary was like that with Jesus. He was the Word in flesh. So on this Ascension Sunday, I want to say kudos to Mary, that Jesus' own ministry here on earth, she was part of it, the success of it. Isn't it? She was part of that, all because she stayed with him. Friends, on this Mother's Day, we want to remember our mothers and our grandmothers. Those people who have loved us. Some of us have aunts or so on who had to step in to be mothers, to play the role of woman. But we want to thank them for their faithfulness. Faithfulness until the end. People come and go. But faithfulness, what a character trait to be faithful. Right? When you know you could pick up that phone and call your mother. And you just say, Ma, you know, even when you're grown, Ma, and she says, what's up? And you're telling, but my mother wouldn't say, what's up? You know, that's a new mother. She wouldn't say, what's up? She's not a what's up kind of language. But she would say, I'm going to pray. Whatever I said to her, she didn't have money to give, or whatever, she says, I'm going to pray. And I would always feel that it was all right because my mother was going to pray. I want my child to feel that way. I want that because I'm a pastor or anything like that, I want her to feel that when she calls me and I says, Tiffany, I'm going to pray, she knows that I'm going to pray. And I'm going to talk to God. And I'm going to ask God to be with her. Right? That's what we need to do. We need to remember that. Mary sets us a great example of faithfulness. And so we too must be faithfulness. We too must be faithful. Faithful unto the end. And so they say about John Wesley that Susanna was so instrumental in his life that she inevitably affected the movement and its directions. Americans know that Abraham Lincoln led this nation through perhaps our time of greatest crisis. But who was it that made Abraham Lincoln the man he was? I know what Lincoln thought. He said it was his mother. So I'd like to submit to you this morning that there's not a person sitting here who has not had a mother. None of us. And there are 5,000, 10,000 different ways as that we could list how our mother has influenced our lives. Some way. And I hope today you will have a good thought about your mother. Today on this Ascension Sunday, as we thank Jesus for doing the job and then going up into heaven to be with God. And he sits on the right hand of making intercessions for us. We also thank his mother for being the kind of mother she was that supported his ministry even though she didn't fully get it. She didn't fully understand it. She didn't quite know what was going to happen, but she supported him. Right? Sometimes we need to do that with our children. Support them even though we don't quite get it, what they want. Maybe we want them to be a lawyer and they really just want to be a basket weaver. And even though basket weaving bothers us because there's no money in basket weaving, you got to support them until they what? Come into their own, don't you? And so today on this Mother's Day, as I close, Isis is going to sing afterwards, Great is Thy Faithfulness. But as I close, let me just pray for the mothers here now. Will you pray with me? Please close your eyes as I pray a blessings upon the mothers this day, mothers-to-be and all the women who are here this day. Oh, loving and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you this day, Lord God. Certainly, we thank you for Jesus and his ascension into heaven. And he makes intercessions for us. We thank you. But today, we lift up our mothers before you. God, there are many of us who have lost our mothers. They are home with you in heaven, Lord. And we miss them still every day. After many years, we still miss them. But we thank you. We thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you for their love. We thank you for their patience and their encouragement. We thank you that they were able to be our mothers. And we bless them as they're with the church triumphant. We know one day when our time comes, we'll go home to see them. And for the mothers here, Lord God, mothers who are here now, for all of us who are here, I pray blessings upon each and every woman here, each and every mother, God, that you will watch over them. You will touch them with your love, Lord God. You know where they hurt. You know where their joys are. You know the difficulties they face and the joys they have experienced. You know what's ahead of them, Lord God. You know our uniqueness as mothers. You know, God, we are the ones who give birth to our children and love them beyond ourselves. We pray that you'll strengthen them. And God, if they're weak in prayer, we pray you'll give them the strength to pray. God, and if they don't know your word, we give them the strength. Please give them the strength to read your words, Lord God. To read the Bible and get comfort from it. And if there's any woman here who do not know Jesus in the pardon of their sins, I pray, God, that you'll touch their hearts. And they'll know that you are the true and living God. You are the one who loves them more than anyone else. And if there's a mother here today who's lonely, who has not heard from their child, whose child does not speak to them, whose heart are broken, Lord Jesus, comfort. Comfort them now, Lord Jesus. Let them know that you love them and that you care. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.